Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Give them a big hand. I want to introduce them formally in just a second. But Pastor Corey is going to be preaching in our 4 and our 6 p.m. services as well. So you're very welcome if you want to venture out on a Sunday afternoon. We've got something called in the last 6 months, you've decided to call Nations Church your home. We want to be able to get you around lunch. It'll be after this service on the 10th of November, the 11 a.m. service. So at about 12:45, we're going to transform this area here into a bit of a restaurant style lunchroom. And we'd love to host you and that give us the opportunity to meet with you and for you to hear a little bit more about our church, about our culture, about who we are and where we're going as a church. And we'd love to register you for that. So if you want to be a part of that, please call past the connection point and register your name so we can cater for you and your family. Your kids will be fed and looked after as well. It'd be absolutely fantastic. And so this morning, it is our privilege to have Pastor Corey Turner with us. Pastor Corey has been a great friend of our church. It's been 12 months since we've had him on our pulpit. But over the last 4 to 5 years, Pastor Corey has been a great friend of our church, been a great prophetic voice to our church, very regular shaping voice for our church. But in the last maybe just under a year or so, Pastor Corey and Simone have taken over the leadership of Bridge Church in Melbourne, which is the original church of the movement that we're a part of, the Assemblies of God, or the Australian Christian Churches. And that's about over 100-year-old church, and it's got a great heritage. But even though that church has a great history, I do believe that under Pastor Corey, it's got an incredible future. And so it's our privilege to have him back on the stage. Would you please stand up as we welcome Pastor Corey, and Simone Turner is going to come with him as well as they come up. Awesome. Man, a woman of God. Love you guys.
Thank you. How is everyone? Stay standing for a moment. I just thought it'd be great to have my wife up here, Simone, and just say a greeting and to pray with us.
Hi, Nations Church. So good to be here. I don't think I've stood up here and said hello to you all before, but we always feel so at home when we come here. You guys are not just about nations, but you're kingdom people. And that is why we feel so welcome. That's why we feel a part of the family when we come here. And so from Bridge Church, I want to say hello and greetings to you guys, because you know that they're all meeting today as well, serving and praising God where they are. So, you know, they're thinking of you, as I know that you're thinking of them. But also from my family, thank you so much for the way that you welcome us and embrace us as a part of the family here. We're so excited to be here and to even see what it is that God is doing in this place amongst you and how He is moving. It's just so exciting to be a part of God's family. Amen. I want to pray with us. So before we hear the word of God, that we would be ready to receive what He wants to speak into our lives. So why don't you pray with me? Father God, we just thank you firstly for your goodness, for your grace in our lives. Thank you that you love us. Thank you, Father God, that your heart is so for us. And so we are ready to receive today whatever it is, Lord, that you want to speak or stir or even convict in our spirit, God. We want you to know that we want to hear from you. We want to see what you want us to see. And so I pray, Father God, that as your word is opened, that our ears would be ready to hear and our hearts would be open to receive from you, Lord God. We are hungry in this place today. We have come to seek you. We have come to meet with you. We have come to encounter you in this place. And so, God, we believe that your word is living. We believe that it is active in our lives. And so, Father God, speak a word in season through your servant today. We pray a blessing upon him, Lord. We pray an empowerment. Your spirit would come upon him. And his words would be your words today, Lord God. That as he speaks forth the truths and the revelation that you have given him, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would use that to open up our lives more and more to you. So, Father, strengthen him today in this place. May you quicken to his mind, Lord God, what it is you are saying right now in this moment to this church. And, Father God, we pray that your kingdom come, your will would be done today in this place, in Nations Church, we pray. We love you, God, and we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. So good to see you today. It's great to be back at Nations Church. It's been 12 months, and you don't look a year older at all. I've got a couple more grey hairs from leading a church. Mike Crichton looks a little bit older, but he's an easy target, so it's all good. This morning at the 9 a.m. service, God spoke to me in worship about God wanting to give you another building, another property. And I'm going to be just declaring that over every service because I know it's in God's heart. And in fact, the message that I'm going to preach in this service is different to the 9 a.m. And each service today is going to be a new message right throughout the day. So you could just be here for all the next three services. Just mark out your calendar and turn up. But I really believe that God wants to say a few significant things. God's also put a couple of people in the room on my heart, and I'm going to share a few words that God's put there. But I want you to go with me to Jeremiah chapter 32. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 2. If I could just have a little bit more microphone, that would be great. Thank you. Jeremiah 32, 1 to 2. And I'm going to preach something I've only ever preached once in my life at our church, but I do believe that God wants to speak it to you, to this service and to this campus, because I believe that it's going to materialize for you in a significant way, and it's also relevant for every person in the room. Jeremiah 32, verses 1 to 2, it says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. At that time, the army of the king of Babylon was besieging Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the guard that was in the palace of the king of Judah." So Jeremiah is in prison. Verse 6. "Jeremiah said, 'The word of the Lord came to me. Behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, your uncle, will come to you and say, buy my field that is at Anathoth, for the right of redemption by purchase is yours.' Then Hanamel, my cousin, came to me in the court of the guard in accordance with the word of the Lord and said to me, 'Buy my field that is at Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, for the right of possession and redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself.' Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field at Anathoth from Hanamel, my cousin, weighed out the money to him, 17 shekels of silver. I signed the deed, sealed it, got witnesses, weighed the money on scales. Then I took the sealed deed of purchase containing the terms and conditions and the open copy. And I gave the deed of purchase to Baruch, the son of Neriah, son of that person, in the presence of Hanamel, my cousin, in the presence of the witnesses who signed the deed of purchase, and in the presence of all the Judeans who were sitting in the court of the guard. I charged Baruch in their presence, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both the sealed deed of purchase and this open deed, and put them in an earthenware vessel that they may last for a long time. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land. After I had given the deed of purchase to Baruch the son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you.'" I want to speak to you today on God's providence in your circumstance. God's providence in your circumstance. On Mother's Day weekend 3 years ago, I watched my 59-year-old mother pass away. I was in an intensive care unit at a private hospital in Melbourne, and my mother had had a long-term 20-year battle with a lung disease, and along with various complications, within 6 weeks, we saw her deteriorate very quickly. And the whole family was gathered around as we saw her breathe her final breath. Now, as you can imagine, as we're watching this scene unfold, your brain is sort of saying, this isn't really happening. But your heart is acknowledging the pain and the grief of what you're seeing unfold. In the natural, all the circumstances would say, It is irrational. It is illogical to have peace right now in this moment. You're losing your loved one. And anyone who's lost a loved one in this room and been through that process knows exactly what I'm talking about. But as we began to pray over my mother, pray for our family, there was a supernatural peace that passes all understanding. It was irrational. It was illogical. It didn't make sense to be that at peace. But there was a supernatural peace that started to grip our hearts and minds as we saw what was unfolding for our family. There was a providence in the midst of our circumstance that God provided for us. Now, when we think about providence, many of us sort of think about it in practical terms of the supply of material things. Maybe you needed a certain amount of money to be able to buy the house, and God supplies it. It's God's providence. We think about it in practical terms. We don't often think about God's providence as a spiritual grace. But biblically, providence is the sovereign intervention of heaven into a contradictory circumstance on earth. It can materialize both physical, practical, and it can be something that's spiritual. Unfortunately, what too many of us do is we let life's contradictions dictate God's intentions for our lives. Never draw a conclusion about God's intentions for you based upon a contradiction. Let me say that again. Never draw a conclusion about God's intentions for you based upon a contradiction in your circumstance. And here is where the prophet Jeremiah enters the scene. Jerusalem is surrounded by its enemies. No one's going in, no one's going out. The city is shut down. The walls have been fortified by soldiers. There is nothing moving in Jerusalem. Jeremiah is imprisoned in the court of the guard for prophesying what God told him to prophesy. We see all throughout the Old Testament that prophets get persecuted for simply telling the people what God told them to tell them, right? And so too in our day, when preachers and prophets declare the word of the Lord over people's lives, over churches, over things, so too they can often be misunderstood and persecuted for simply being God's mouthpiece. Israel is about to go into exile. And in the midst of a contradictory circumstance, Jerusalem surrounded, its enemies are surrounding that city. Jeremiah is in prison. It's a contradictory circumstance. God comes and says, purchase land. This is what's happening in this passage of scripture. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Jeremiah, I'd be sitting there sort of going like, God, no one's purchasing land right now. We are literally in fear for our lives. No one likes the ministry that I'm giving up. I'm in a prison and you're telling me to purchase land. It doesn't make sense. Why did God say purchase land? Well, see, while Israel was being disobedient, which ultimately was going to lead to their destruction, God's intention for Israel was restoration. God never allows you and I to go through things without having a restoration plan in mind. Without having a plan B to actually bring about His ultimate purposes and intentions for our lives. I heard a story about two sailors lost at sea and they were running out of water. They saw another boat come over the horizon and they started to signal, give us some water, only to have the boat respond back with, let down your bucket. And they're like, they misunderstood what we said. We're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. We can't let down the bucket. It's seawater. So they said again, give us some water, only to have the response come back, let down your bucket. And with that, the boat sailed off into the horizon. They're like, this is crazy, but maybe they know something we don't know. And so they let down their bucket. only to pull up fresh drinking water, because the stretch of ocean they were in is where the Amazon River, fresh water, bleeds into the Atlantic Ocean for 250 kilometers, and on the surface of that body of water is fresh drinking water for a foot or 2 feet, and under that the salt water is pushed down. They draw up fresh drinking water. How many of us know they drew a conclusion about their environment, about their circumstances, that was not reality? And often what you and I do is we draw conclusions about our life based upon contradictions, rather than coming back to what has God promised us? What has God intended for us? God's intentions don't change for you just because you're facing a contradiction. If God said it, that settles it. If God's asked you to do it, just obey it. Don't try and work out all the scenarios, dot the I's, cross the T's. Just obey what God has asked you to do. There is a battle in our walk with God between our logic and God's logos word. And often we really wrestle and struggle with what God has said based upon what we are seeing or not seeing in the logic of our circumstance. And yet if you are going to live the life of faith, if God's intentions are going to become reality, you've got to make a decision in your life. Are you going to live only by the logic and reason of the circumstance, which God's given us a brain and He wants us to take all of those things into consideration? But the life of the kingdom of God is lived by faith. Four times in the Bible it says the righteous live by faith. Recently at our church, we just purchased a new property for our East Campus facility, $3.75 million. And our property committee and the board and everyone did all the homework, did due diligence, dotted the I's, crossed the T's. But guess what? When it came to the decision, they're all looking at the senior pastor for the final call. And the final call, regardless of how it all looks on paper, has to be made in faith. There's wisdom, there's due diligence, there's all the things that you've got to do. But at the end of the day, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And I just feel the anointing of God's Spirit even in this moment saying that there is an opportunity coming to you as a church. There is a moment coming where God is saying you're going to have all the I's dotted and T's crossed, but you have got to step out in faith. You've got to lay hold of what God has for you. I sense that where you've been going and talking, there's a day coming where someone is going to come and talk to you. Jeremiah didn't go and ask someone for a property. The dude came to him and said, "Will you buy my land?" There is something going to happen in the supernatural realm where God's providence is going to kick in the midst of a contradictory circumstance. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling happy just preaching it. So how do you sustain walking by faith when everything around you is telling you impossible? It can't happen. It's all the circumstances, all the doors are closed. How do you sustain your faith? The answer is intercessory prayer. Intercession or prayer releases revelation that will sustain your faith. I know you want a better answer. I know that you want someone to come and say to you, "Here's the money to go purchase the land." I know you want someone to come wave a magic wand over your head and work everything all out, or lay hands on you and it's all worked out. And I believe in the power of a moment in God where you have an encounter and something changes. But there is this incredible gift, this key to breakthrough that God has given to us. It is called the life of prayer. What did God, what happened in verse 16 and 17? It says, "After I had given the deed of purchase to that person, I prayed to the Lord saying, 'Our Lord God,'" listen to it, "'it is you who have made the heavens and the earth. By your great power and by your outstretched arm, nothing is too hard for you." You see, the secret to Jeremiah's faith was his prayer life. You want to develop a greater faith. Faith comes by hearing, but hearing by the word of God, yes, but it's developed in the womb of prayer. In the prison, God's word didn't make sense. In the contradiction, what do you mean? Go and buy land. But in the place of God's presence, it came into clear focus. In prayer, God's character comes into clear focus. It's in prayer that we discover who God really is. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly and above all that we ask or think, according to the power that what? Works within us." It's as we walk with God, it's as his presence grows in our lives through prayer, that his character, his nature comes into clear focus. In 2012, we were pastoring a church, had planted that, led that for several years. We as a family were living in a Bible college dormitory, literally two rooms. And you know, the outlook wasn't great as far as what does the future hold. And yet in that old Bible college dormitory, as one day the frustration got the better of me, I became emotional, started to cry and have my sort of little whinge moment with God. And as I'm there praying, I move from complaining to praying. It's a real that I've just given you a key for life right there. I move from complaining to a place of intercession. And as I'm there in that moment, God begins to speak to me and says, "Son, from this room, from the very carpet that you have cried tears into, I will take you around the world." And my mind said, "It's impossible. It's illogical. It's not going to happen. That promise, that prophecy, that dream, it won't happen." 7 years later, not only has God literally taken our ministry around the world, books translated into several languages, God doing amazing things in our life and ministry. Now we lead a church that has campuses overseas. We're looking to plant campuses overseas. All these things are happening because no matter what it looked like 7 years ago, God's intentions for my life have not changed. And God's intentions for your life haven't changed just because you're facing a contradiction. In Psalm 73:16, the psalmist said, "When I tried to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God's presence." You know what I've discovered in life and ministry? Some things, when I'm trying to navigate it in my own understanding, it causes weariness to rise up in my heart. I get weary. I get fatigued emotionally. But when I step into the presence of God, when I step into that place of worship and intimacy, things that didn't make sense outside of that place of intimacy, so all of a sudden it gets into clear focus. And I may not have all of the answers, but I know who does have the answer. I know who is the answer. And my faith is restored to continue to believe despite the contradiction. You see, God has designed irrational instructions to only make sense through the revelation of prayer. Because if it could be understood outside of prayer, it would all be about your efforts and what you can do rather than your dependence upon God. The contradiction you're going through is not for your destruction, it's to teach you dependence. It's to actually bring you into a place of greater trust. When Elisha's servant runs into the prophet and says, "We're surrounded by our enemies. This is it. You've done it now. We're all going to die." What does Elisha do? Elisha prays that the eyes of his servant would be open to see there are more with us than there are those against us. I want to tell you today, it's only in prayer will you develop the faith and the confidence and the hope to be able to see there are more with you than there are those against you. The media may be against the church. There may be all sorts of agendas and lobby groups and all sorts of things against the Christian faith. But let me tell you, there are more with you than there are those against you. There is more power, there is more provision, there is more resource, there is more support, there's more grace, there's more of the kingdom of God available to you than anything in the kingdom of darkness. It's not like the kingdom of darkness is an equal and opposite adversary to the kingdom of God. No, we are told that we can trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. You've got to come into a place of aligning your faith with the word versus your circumstance. This is where the kingdom life is lived. This is where the reality of it starts to play out in your life. You see, the key, or should I say the greatest obstacle to receiving God's providence is to have more faith in your circumstance than you do in God's character. Yeah. Some of us believe more in the circumstance than we do in His character. Yeah. And yet in verse 26 and 27 of this passage, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Here's God again, because when you're going through a contradiction, God's word comes. It's whether we're listening, right? And He says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" You know what we're in a battle for? We're in a battle for a right perception of God. Satan wages war against an accurate biblical view of who God really is. That's the battle that you're in. And what Satan knows is that if he can distort our picture of God, he can actually drive a wedge in our relationship with God. How many people that you know that once attended church, confessed the Lordship of Jesus, have walked away from that place of intimacy and faith because they allowed a wrong perception of God to grow in their hearts because of a contradiction that they faced in their lives? God spoke, God called, there was even great potential and promise, but because of delay, because of contradictions, because of pain and difficulty, they allowed the enemy to distort an accurate view of who God is. It happens to people all the time. You see, if there was anyone who could have developed a distorted perception of God, it was Job. The prophet Job, in 2 days, lost everything. He lost his wealth, he lost his family, he lost his health, he lost everything in 48 hours. And Job's friends show up and were not any help at all. They show up and they are only reinforcing a wrong view of who God is. They're not helping him. You've got to be careful who you listen to in a contradiction. You've got to get around people that build your faith, not distort your faith. You've got to keep your eyes on the word of God and what God's word says, not what the opinions of man say. I love people. I love their heart to help and their heart to try and alleviate the pain of our lives. But there comes a point where even well-meaning Christians, you have to bring your focus back to the truth of God's word, not just the opinions of people. You've got to keep coming back to, what am I building my life upon? What has God said? And you've got to bring your confession into alignment with the word versus your agreement with man's opinion. Someone once said, opinions are like armpits. Everyone's got one and most of them stink. And there's some truth to that. All right? Everyone's got an opinion on how we should live our lives and what we should do. And I thank God for good counsel. I thank God for good wisdom. But there comes a time when every opinion must submit to the Lordship of Jesus and with what God has declared about our lives. And so here is Job's friends. They're trying to give him all manner of advice, tell him all the reasons why, because we like to try and work out the reasons why and control everything. And God shows up and says to Job's friends, "Hush up, let me tell you exactly what's going on." That's the paraphrase of the original Hebrew, but basically that's what he said. He comes and he says to Job, "Where were you when I flung the stars in the sky? I mean, when were you when I breathed the universe into existence?" It sort of puts it in correct posture and light, doesn't it? When God shows up and just brings the holy smack down and reminds us of who He is and who we're not. Then He turns to the friends And he says to Job's friends, maybe it's time you actually be quiet about giving Job a distorted picture of who I am, because actually who I perceive Job to be is different to how you perceive Job to be. I've got an honor for this man and a love for this man you don't understand. And often what we can do is look at someone's circumstance and draw a wrong judgment, not realizing God's intention and heart for them. Job had every reason to have a distorted view of God, and yet he is like, I shall come forth as pure gold. I will not curse the Lord. I will keep worshiping him. I will keep loving him. I will keep believing. And God restored everything multiple times that Job had lost in his life. You see, A.W. Tozer said this, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. It's your revelation of God that impacts everything about your life. You know, the answer to a poor perception of God is to rediscover his goodness in the midst of your circumstance. It says in verse 42, further in the chapter, for thus says the Lord, just as I have brought all this great disaster upon this people, so I will bring upon them all the good that I promised them. Fields shall be bought in this land, of which you are saying, it is a desolation. It is given into the hands of the Chaldeans. Fields shall be bought for money. Deeds shall be signed and sealed and witnessed in the land of Benjamin, in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, in the cities of the hill country, and in the cities of the Negeb. Here it is. For I will restore their fortunes, declares the Lord. You know what I've learned is that your faith will only take you where your understanding of God's goodness will allow you. Let me say that again. Your faith will only take you as far as your revelation of God's goodness will allow you. If I do not believe that God is exceedingly good, why should I believe that God is going to bring restoration into my life? If I don't believe that God's nature is kind, is loving, that he has a heart of justice that will fight my battles for me, why should I believe that God is going to be providential in the midst of my circumstances? Faith in God's goodness protects you from hopelessness. Hopelessness is a thief that the enemy sows into our hearts to steal our joy and to steal our strength. I heard someone say once, he who has the most hope has the most influence. If you can hold your hope, maintain your hope, what does the letters of Paul say? Faith, hope, and love abide. The greatest of these is love, yes, but faith, hope, and love are a force to be reckoned with. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. In Jeremiah 14:8, it says, he is the hope of Israel. I want to say to you today, whatever hopeless situation you're facing, God is your hope. And if you lose your hope in God's goodness, you lose your capacity to influence the situation. He who has the most hope has the most influence. Because when all the chips are down, and you're in the valley of despair, and everyone's concluding the logical outcome, the person who rises in faith and hope, everyone looks and draws strength from them. That's the role of leadership. That's the role of ministry. Psalm 27:13 says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Some of you need to hear that today. If you're sick in your body, you've got to declare and confess, I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If you're facing a difficulty in your work, I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You've got to bring your faith and your confession into alignment with the truth of God's word, not your circumstance. And the greatest test of your trust in God's goodness is how long you can persevere between the promise and its fulfillment. You see, in Jeremiah 33:1-3, the word of the Lord comes again. Here it is again. This is a third time. It's in a contradictory circumstance. The word comes again. While Jeremiah is still shut up in prison. hang on a sec, I thought, God, when you prophesied that I'd get out of prison and all my circumstances would change. No, Jerry, you're still in prison. You're still in the contradiction. You're still in the circumstance. But God's intentions for your life don't change simply because you're still in the contradiction. While Jeremiah was still shut up in the court of the guard, thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. What does he say to Jeremiah? Call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. What was going to sustain Jeremiah's faith in God's providence? His perseverance in prayer. Nothing else, but simply the willingness to get on his knees and keep praying and keep believing and keep persevering. It's only as we persevere in prayer that things once hidden to us become revealed. What God does is he often plays hide and seek with us. He's not hiding something from you, he's hiding something for you. He doesn't hide something for you in order to lead you to despair and frustration. It's to lead you to a greater dependence and trust on who he is in your life. If you haven't received your answer yet, instead of complaining about the delay, keep storming the heavenlies in prayer. Every morning you get up, start the day on your knees. Every night you go to bed, end the day on your knees. When you're at your lunch break, begin that moment of lunch on your knees. Why? Because of Hebrews 6:12, it's through faith and patience we inherit the promises of God. I wish it only said it's through faith. I wish it only said, it's through naming it and claiming it, we inherit the promises of God. I wish it said that. But it doesn't say that. It says through faith and patience. You want to know why? Because one of the greatest tests of your faith is your patience. How long can you wait between the promise and its fulfillment is a true test of your faith. Do you know 20 years ago, I prayed prayers believing they would come to pass in a 6 months or a year that only now are coming to pass. Now, I'm not saying that the prayers you're praying today is going to take you 20 years. All I'm saying is I've had to persevere in prayer. I've had to position myself in a place where it's like, no, God, you said it. I don't care about the contradictions. I'm believing it. This is going to come to pass. My grandmother prayed for my grandfather for 40 years before he got saved. Every day for 40 years. Some of us can't pray 4 minutes. Serious. That's not condemnation, that's just reality. Some of us struggle to pray for 4 minutes. Can you pray for 40 years before someone in your family that you're believing for becomes a believer? What is it going to take for you to begin to really contend for the things that God has put upon your heart? God told Abraham, I will bless you, I will multiply you. And guess what? He waited 25 years. But the Bible says because Abraham waited patiently, he obtained the promise. I don't know about you, but I've just made a decision. God, however long it takes, I'm not moving anywhere. I'm doing what you called me to do, whether they all leave or they all stay. And when God finds someone like that, he goes, here you go, here you go, here you go, here. Why? Because he's looking for trustworthiness. He's looking for people to entrust his promises to. You know, I preached this at our church. This is 6 months ago now. The only time I preached this message. A couple had put a deposit upon a house that they could not fulfill the purchase because of their visa and immigration obstacles and barriers. And anyone who knows who has tried to get a visa or immigrate from another country to Australia knows we have one of the toughest, stringent immigration laws on the planet. And some people are waiting for years and years and years to get breakthrough. And all the advice, all the circumstance that they were told was, it's going to take 2 to 3 years. They put a deposit on the house. They got a 30-day settlement. They haven't got 2 to 3 years. They heard this word. And for the next week, they stood on that word, declared it, prayed into it, persevered in prayer for 1 week, went back and fronted up at the immigration place and said, "Where is it at?" And they said, "Oh, we were about to ring you. It's all come through. It's all come through. You now have what you need to be able to go and purchase and fulfill the purchase of your house." They are now living in their own house that they purchased because they decided that regardless of the contradiction, this was God's intention for them. God's providence in your circumstance. And I'm believing and declaring today that God is going to show up His providence in the circumstances of this church in a dramatic, supernatural way, that something is about to shift in the name of Jesus. And if you want to get in on this and just perceive what God's saying right now for you individually, I want us to stand to our feet right now and begin to open up our hearts and saying, "God, I'm believing for your providential hand to show yourself strong in the circumstances of my life." We're going to sing and we're going to worship in a moment. I'm just actually wondering if Roland and Leanne would just come forward, and your daughter too. Why don't you just come forward? I just want to pray over you. We just extend our hands towards this couple, Sim, and a few others. Would you just come around this family right now? Father, we just thank you, oh God, for the call of God upon this family. We thank you for the grace of God upon their lives. And God, I thank you, your intention for them doesn't change because of the contradiction. And Father, for the last 24 hours, I've just had it in my spirit that there was coming a moment on this day where we were going to break something in the supernatural realm over your life. And that as of this day, everything shifts in the name of Jesus. I don't know how, I don't know what the process will be, but all I know is that we serve a supernatural God. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I command every device of the enemy coming against you to frustrate you, to impede the progress of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will advance. The church will be built. God will move forward, and He has allowed for provision in the midst of the contradiction. But Father, right now I pray that every attack of the enemy, Lord, upon their finances, Lord, upon the frustration in the process of the business, as of this day would cease, and there would come an open highway over their lives, over their ministries, that Lord, even as they pass into the new year, that Lord, good news will be in their inbox, good news will be in their hands, good news will be in their hearts, good news will be in their life. I take authority over that which the enemy may try to frustrate. I thank you, O God, in the midst of the delay, you are faithful. Your intention doesn't change. And God, we just declare today peace of mind, peace of heart, and that God, faith would rise. Faith would begin to rise. The Lord says, "I've called you, I've anointed you, and I'm sending you. You're sent out. You're apostolically sent out, and I will make a way where there seems to be no way." And so, Father, right now I pray, break down the walls, break down the gates, break down the doors that have frustrated. It's almost like I see that there has been this mute button that's been put on. It's like there's no chatter, there's no transaction, there's no correspondence. A mute button, God comes and pushes the mute button off and says, "The conversation's beginning, the conversation's continuing. I'm bringing this through to completion. The good work I've started in you, I will bring through to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Come on, can we give the Lord a hand of praise right now? Just this lady here with the glasses and the tag. Just want to encourage you. God showed me a picture of you standing before a room filled with influential people, influential women, and you were speaking. God is going to open a door, if He hasn't already, for you to be a real a voice of influence in your field. I see that God is going to actually give you significant influence. He's anointed you with leadership. He's given you a voice of authority that people are going to listen to. And you're going to be a leader of influence in your field. And I see that could be with business women, or it could be, it may not be your exact industry or field, but I see that a door's going to come where they're going to want to hear what you have to say about it. And so, Father, I pray for this woman of God. I thank you for her spiritual maturity. I thank you, oh God, for how she has stewarded, oh God, what you have put into her hands. I thank you, Father, that you have given her a voice to speak your heart to people. And even though the content may not be, you know, preaching the gospel, the spirit behind the content is the heart of God. It's the anointing of the Spirit of God. And you're going to bring such light in places of darkness. You're going to bring significant hope. And I just speak favor over your work. I speak favor over your business and your industry, that which you are connected to. The Lord says, I'm giving you a voice as of this day. And you are going to bring hope and life and a sense of identity into women's lives. Lives, and you're going to inspire them for their future call and all that God has for them. And I just release it over your life right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's put our hands together and honor the Lord in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My brother in the blue and white shirt, you, sir. Yeah, could you just come? Do you have any family here? Yeah, okay. Why don't you? Is it okay? I don't want to embarrass you, but I do want to pray for you. Would you just come down, you and any of your family who wants to come, would you just come down? And I just love to pray for you, because God wants to do something significant in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Can we just reach out our hands towards this family? Let's pray for these guys. Let's extend out, reach out our hands. Just come forward. I'd just like to also pray for you. Father, I thank you so much for Emmanuel. I thank you for his amazing family. I thank you, oh God, for the call of God that is upon this family. I thank you, God, for bringing them to this house today. Emmanuel, I see you're carrying the gift of faith. And the enemy has tried to cripple your faith. And yet, the devil is a liar. He has not won. And I see that God has given you this gift of faith that is going to secure victory in an impossible circumstance. You're a hard worker that you can work with your hands, but you're so good with people. And I see that God is going to reward the diligence over many years, and that gift of faith is going to break through in this coming season. You're coming into a destiny season, a destiny moment where there is going to be significant breakthrough through the work of your hands. God says, I'm going to anoint your hands. I'm going to use your hands. I'm going to bring that all that I've intended for you in the midst of the contradictions. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to honor you before your peers, even those who have ruled you out, even those who have talked ill of you behind your back, even those who have tried to put you down and limit you and restrict you. The Lord says you can't keep a God's man down, and you are God's man. And the Lord says, I've called you and I've anointed you, and I'm bringing restoration. I'm bringing prosperity into your family, into your lives. I'm bringing a greater breakthrough into the work of your hands. Father, I thank you for this man's faith. I thank you, oh God. Sometimes you go, God, I haven't got much. It doesn't seem like much. The Lord says, I can do a whole lot with a lot little. I can do a whole lot of much with a whole lot of little. The Lord says, just give me what you have. Give me what you have, and I'll take the little and turn it into much. I am with you, I've called you, I've anointed you, and you're going to see over these coming months my hand of favor, blessing and provision in every single area of your life. And I just pray, oh God, for health and for strength, where at times there's been attack even on the emotions and even upon your minds. I just speak peace to your spirit today. Speak peace to your hearts. Father, I speak renewed health and strength to Paul, this woman of God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this family. I thank you for the heritage of faith. You've stayed faithful in and out of season, in and out. When it's been going well and when it hasn't been going well. You've sustained your faith in your prayer life. Great is your reward. Great is your reward. I just see great reward coming to you, Father. Bless this man of God. Bless this woman of God. Your prayers have prevailed. Your prayers have prevailed. You're a praying woman and you're a praying man, and they have prevailed. And the Lord says you're going to see in these days. It may seem like it's been a long time coming, but the Lord says it's coming. It's coming. We declare it and I pray it over this man of God. In Jesus' name. Come on, one last time. Let's honor the Lord. Let's sing. Let's sing. God, we met earlier. Is that okay if I just share something that God's put upon my heart for you? Is that okay? I don't want to embarrass you at all, but I really believe that you're not here by accident today, that God actually wants to heal your heart and He wants to restore years that have been lost through maybe some decisions that were made that you regret. I just sense like there's been some regret in your heart of things that have happened in relationships and things that have happened in your life where you've lost a lot. But I see God coming to you and saying, I'm going to restore your heart. I'm going to restore years that have been lost to you. I'm going to restore relationships. And I'm going to bring you into a family where you can be yourself, who I truly made you to be. And that you are going to come into a place of great faith and victory and confidence that in years to come, people will look at you and say, what has happened to you? What has happened to your life? And Father, I thank you for God. I thank you for this man. And Father, I just pray right now that your love would invade his heart. Your peace that passes all understanding, oh God, would invade his mind and invade his heart. That you love this man. You created him. You've called him. And whatever mistakes of the past, whatever decisions made, Lord, that have caused pain or regret or shame even, Father, I thank you today that you're making all things new, that this is the day of salvation, that God is restoring and renewing years that the enemy of your soul has tried to steal from you. You don't work for him anymore. You work for the kingdom of God. God is for you. He loves you and he's called you. And Father, I just pray today, do a deep work in this man's heart. Awaken his spirit to the reality of who you are. I pray today in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for this great man of God. I thank you for, you're so passionate. You're so passionate for the things of God. And God is coming and he's saying, I've got you in a season where there's lots of passion. That's awesome. That's amazing. But God says, I'm aligning you with a leader, with a man of God that is going to disciple you and raise you up, because there is a call of leadership upon your life. There is a call to ministry upon you. And the Lord needs to disciple you and to prepare you and to get you ready for what he has for you. And so get ready to be discipled. Get ready to do some things that are a bit out of the box. They're going to stretch you out of your comfort zones. That it's going to seem very ordinary, very sort of mundane. But the Lord says, I've called you to this. And in the mundane ordinariness, God says, I'm going to raise you up. David, before he became a king, was just serving his father's sheep. The Lord says there's a call of David upon your life to actually lead others, to lead others even in worship, to even declare the word of the Lord over people. And the Lord says, I will raise you up, son. I will use you to conquer Goliaths, to conquer giants. I am going, I've set you apart and I've seen your heart. Man looks on the outward, but I look on the heart. And the Lord says, I've called you and I've anointed you to be a king, to be a leader of others. And so, Father, right now I pray, Lord, that this word would go deep into his spirit. It would go deep into his heart, that this man would never be the same again. That you would give him such a heart for you, Lord God. And that, Lord, as you're declaring a prophecy over his life today, Father, the fulfillment of this will be over the next 5-10 years. But the Lord says, when you rise to that place of opportunity and prominence, never forget, it was because of God's heart for you, God's word for you, and your response of obedience to what God has called you to do. Father, I pray your blessing upon this man in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, one last time. Let's just sing it. Father, I pray for every person today facing a contradiction in their circumstance. Lord, would you take this word, apply it to our hearts, your intentions for us don't change just because it seems illogical, impossible, and like it's never going to happen. Father, I thank you that your word will be true. Your word will become a reality in our lives. And I speak that for every person in this room who may have lost hope, may have been discouraged, who in that place of perseverance between promise and fulfillment. Father, I pray today that this word would sustain us, strengthen us, and encourage us to maintain in prayer that posture of faith where we are reminded of your goodness and your grace in our lives.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.